The functional correlates of abnormal EEG changes. Introduction. Electroencephalographic abnormalities manifest in various forms, including alterations in waveform morphology, frequency, amplitude, and coherence, each reflecting specific physiological and pathological brain states. These EEG changes are not random phenomena, but are highly patterned and often associated with identifiable neurological and psychiatric conditions. Recognizing these associations allows clinicians to use EEG as a tool not only for detection, but for understanding the underlying brain dysfunction. This lecture explores the diverse range of conditions in which EEG abnormalities occur, beginning with epilepsy and moving through dementia, mood disorders, and anxiety disorders. It continues with a detailed analysis of how brainwave frequencies are categorized and named, and then addresses the physiological basis and functional meaning of alpha, beta, delta, and theta rhythms. The session concludes with a reflection on EEG interpretation, emphasizing compensatory mechanisms and the implications for training and clinical application. Through this structure, we aim to provide a functional neurophysiological framework for interpreting abnormal EEG findings. Abnormal EEG changes in epilepsy. Epilepsy is perhaps the most definitive example of a condition marked by abnormal EEG patterns. The hallmark feature is epileptiform activity, including spikes, sharp waves, and complex spike and wave discharges. These patterns indicate regions of neuronal hyperexcitability and synchronous discharges that can lead to clinical seizures. The localization of these discharges helps identify the seizure onset zone, which is essential for determining surgical candidacy in pharmacoresistant epilepsy. For instance, interictal spikes in the temporal lobe often correspond with deficits in memory and affect regulation, owing to the proximity of hippocampal and amygdaloid structures. In generalized epilepsy, bilateral synchronous discharges reflect a network-level dysfunction that is treated differently from focal epilepsies. EEG abnormalities can occur both during and between seizures, and thus provide valuable diagnostic and prognostic data even outside of seizure episodes. Importantly, certain epileptiform patterns can be subclinical yet still indicative of underlying dysfunction, emphasizing the value of continuous monitoring and repeated recordings. These features make EEG a cornerstone in the diagnostic process for epilepsy. Abnormal EEG changes in dementia. Dementia-related EEG abnormalities typically include generalized slowing, reduced coherence, and alterations in dominant frequency bands. In Alzheimer's disease, one commonly observes an increase in delta and theta activity and a corresponding reduction in alpha and beta frequencies, particularly in posterior cortical regions. These findings are consistent with progressive cortical disconnection and reduced cholinergic transmission, especially from the basal forebrain. EEG slowing parallels clinical deterioration and may thus serve as a non-invasive biomarker for disease progression. The posterior dominant rhythm, typically in the alpha range, often shifts toward lower frequencies, indicating declining cortical integration and responsiveness. EEG changes can also differentiate among dementia subtypes. For instance, Lewy body dementia may present with greater fluctuations in background activity and more prominent posterior slowing than Alzheimer's disease. Longitudinal EEG studies show that these abnormalities progress in tandem with cognitive deficits, providing a temporal map of cortical decline. Thus, EEG serves as a useful adjunct in the diagnosis and tracking of dementing illnesses. Abnormal EEG changes in mood disorders. Mood disorders exhibit distinct electrophysiological signatures that reflect altered cortical arousal and dysregulated affective processing. In major depressive disorder, increased alpha activity over the frontal lobes is commonly observed and may represent cortical hypoactivation in regions associated with mood regulation. This frontal alpha asymmetry has been investigated as a potential biomarker for depression severity and treatment response. Conversely, during manic episodes and bipolar disorder, elevated beta activity is frequently recorded, reflecting heightened arousal and excitatory neurotransmission. In depressive phases of bipolar disorder, theta activity may increase, particularly in frontal and central regions, suggesting cortical slowing and decreased executive functioning. The dynamic EEG changes observed across mood disorder spectra point to the shifting neurochemical and neuroanatomical substrates that underlie these conditions. While EEG is not yet a primary diagnostic tool for mood disorders, its utility in guiding treatment and assessing treatment efficacy is growing. Emerging neurofeedback protocols also leverage these findings to target dysregulated frequencies in mood disorder treatment. Abnormal EEG changes in anxiety disorders. Anxiety disorders often produce increased beta activity, particularly in frontal and central cortical regions, which reflects sustained vigilance and sympathetic arousal. Individuals with generalized anxiety disorder commonly show this pattern, which aligns with clinical features such as worry, restlessness, and physiological hyperarousal. In post-traumatic stress disorder, reduced alpha activity and increased high-frequency beta are frequently seen, representing a failure of inhibitory control and persistent alertness to environmental cues. These findings suggest dysregulation within corticolimbic circuits, particularly involving the prefrontal cortex and limbic system. EEG changes in anxiety disorders often persist across resting and task-engaged states, indicating a trait-like neural signature. They are also modifiable through interventions such as neurofeedback, which aims to restore balance between excitatory and inhibitory neural activity. The identification of specific EEG biomarkers in anxiety can facilitate targeted interventions and enhance treatment outcomes. Overall, EEG offers a window into the neurophysiological correlates of anxiety and informs both assessment and intervention strategies. Summary: abnormal EEG patterns provide crucial insights into the neurophysiological mechanisms underlying various psychiatric and neurological conditions. In epilepsy, distinct epileptiform discharges allow for localization and classification of seizure types, while in dementia, EEG slowing reflects network-level degeneration. Mood and anxiety disorders exhibit more subtle, yet functionally significant, deviations in frequency and coherence patterns, pointing to cortical hypoactivity or hyperarousal states. Understanding these correlates enables the clinician to integrate EEG findings with clinical presentation to guide diagnosis and treatment. These abnormalities, when interpreted within the broader context of functional neuroanatomy, reveal disruptions in specific networks rather than global brain dysfunction alone. Continued research and refinement of EEG techniques are enhancing our ability to characterize these disorders accurately. In this way, EEG evolves from a purely diagnostic tool to an integral component of neuropsychiatric assessment and therapeutic planning. Naming the EEG components. The classification of EEG frequencies developed historically in a somewhat inconsistent manner, starting with Hans Berger's identification of the alpha rhythm as the first recognized pattern, with subsequent activity faster than alpha, termed beta. This naming convention was expanded in the 1930s by Jasper and Andrews with the introduction of the term gamma to describe high-frequency rhythms above 30 or 35 Hz. Over time, the definition of gamma has varied, with some using it to denote activity above 25 Hz and others extending its range to 70 Hz or more, differentiating between low and high gamma. Walter later introduced the term delta for the slowest waveforms below alpha, and theta was subsequently coined for those in the 4 to 8 Hz range. While these classical frequency bands, delta, theta, alpha, beta, and gamma, have remained relatively stable, attempts to introduce additional Greek letter terms such as rho or pi rhythms have largely fallen out of use. This inconsistency in naming and the potential for overlapping definitions has led many to advocate for numerical frequency designations rather than relying solely on traditional terminology. Describing EEG activity with explicit frequency ranges and contextual information, such as recording montage, cortical region, and participant state, provides greater clarity and clinical utility than using generic terms like posterior alpha. Moreover, brain rhythms rarely occur in isolation. EEG activity is governed by an intricate system of interactions across cortical and subcortical structures, with one key organizing principle being cross-frequency synchronization. This phenomenon involves the coordinated timing of faster rhythms, such as beta and gamma, with slower oscillations like delta, theta, or alpha, producing nested rhythms. These complex interactions underlie sensory integration, attentional processes, and the coordination of large-scale networks. Understanding these dynamics is crucial because EEG does not cause behavior but reflects it, providing a window into the brain's ongoing state through a snapshot of dynamic neurophysiological activity. Such understanding is foundational for interpreting EEG data within clinical and research settings, especially as tools like qEEG expand the precision and applicability of these measurements. 8 to 12 Hz EEG, the alpha rhythm. The alpha rhythm, a frequency band between 8 and 13 Hz, is the first and most extensively studied EEG pattern. It typically emerges over the posterior regions of the scalp during wakeful rest, especially with the eyes closed, and is characterized by moderate amplitude rhythmic waveforms. Alpha is most prominent in the occipital areas and is generally attenuated by eye opening, mental effort, or attentional shifts. This pattern reflects an idling state of the visual cortex and is associated with physical relaxation and disengagement from active cognitive tasks. For an EEG rhythm to be formally classified as alpha, it must meet specific criteria, including frequency, location, and reactivity. Differentiating from similar rhythms, such as mu, is critical for accurate interpretation, as mu appears in central regions and has distinct behavioral correlates. Alpha activity is not static, but varies in response to internal and external conditions, making it a dynamic indicator of cortical function and neural synchrony. Source of 8 to 12 Hz alpha activity. The origin of alpha activity lies in the thalamocortical relay system, which plays a central role in modulating sensory input and cortical responsiveness. When the eyes are closed and visual input is suppressed, the relay neurons in the thalamus, specifically those regulated by the inhibitory neurons of the thalamic reticular nucleus, shift to a rhythmic firing mode. This generates synchronous oscillations transmitted to cortical visual areas, notably in the occipital and parietal lobes. These oscillations emerge as alpha waves in the EEG. The synchronization and voltage of alpha rhythms are determined by the number of neurons firing in concert and the strength of their rhythmic discharge. This network-level activity reflects the capacity of the brain to disengage from external stimuli and maintain a regulated internal state. Functional imaging and electrophysiological studies confirm that this alpha synchrony represents an orchestrated balance between inhibition and readiness in cortical circuits. Thus, alpha activity can be considered a marker of organized neural rest and functional inhibition of specific sensory systems. Meaning and importance of the alpha peak frequency. Alpha peak frequency is the precise frequency within the alpha band that exhibits the highest amplitude during resting conditions. This value is not fixed, but varies across individuals and developmental stages, increasing from infancy to early adulthood and often declining in advanced age. Multiple factors, including cognitive capacity, brain maturation, and the integrity of thalamocortical pathways, influence peak frequency. A higher alpha peak frequency is generally associated with greater cognitive efficiency and positively correlates with memory and information processing speed. Conversely, a slower alpha peak frequency may indicate cognitive decline, fatigue, or structural brain changes. Clinical studies have identified slowed alpha frequency as a potential marker for conditions such as mild cognitive impairment, dementia, and post-concussive syndromes. Using normative databases enables clinicians to compare an individual's alpha peak frequency to age-matched controls, enhancing the sensitivity of EEG assessments. Given its diagnostic relevance, peak alpha frequency remains an essential component of quantitative EEG analysis. Meaning and importance of the eyes closed alpha response voltage. The voltage or amplitude of alpha activity in the eyes closed condition provides important information about neural synchrony and the brain's capacity for functional inhibition. In typical cases, closing the eyes results in a marked increase in alpha amplitude, especially over occipital regions, as visual input ceases and cortical neurons enter a resting state. This alpha response reflects the coordinated deactivation of visual processing networks and the activation of the thalamocortical loop that sustains alpha rhythms. A low-voltage alpha response suggests poor neural synchrony or excessive cortical activation, possibly due to anxiety, hypervigilance, or cortical inefficiency. High-voltage responses, particularly those exceeding typical values, may reflect states of excessive disengagement or certain pathological conditions. The assessment of alpha amplitude must account for factors such as electrode montage, participant state, and individual variability. Evaluating the alpha voltage response is fundamental in neurofeedback and biofeedback protocols, where interventions aim to normalize or enhance this rhythmic activity to support cognitive and emotional functioning. Meaning and importance of the alpha blocking response. Alpha blocking refers to the attenuation or disappearance of alpha rhythms when the eyes open or the brain engages in a task requiring visual attention. This phenomenon indicates a transition from a synchronized, idle state to a desynchronized, engaged state in the visual and attentional networks. Effective alpha blocking reflects functional cortical activation and the suppression of resting state rhythms in response to external demands. When alpha persists after eye opening or during task performance, it may signify cortical underactivation or a failure of inhibitory mechanisms. Conditions associated with impaired alpha blocking include fatigue, certain neurodegenerative diseases, chronic substance use, and prolonged meditation. Conversely, hyperactive alpha blocking could indicate heightened sensory sensitivity or overreactivity. Monitoring alpha blocking patterns offers insights into the brain's dynamic regulatory capacity and responsiveness to stimuli. It is a valuable marker in clinical EEG interpretation and neurotherapy, helping to tailor interventions to individual regulatory profiles. 3 or 14 to 25 or 30 Hz EEG, the beta rhythm. Beta rhythms fall within the frequency range of approximately 13 to 30 Hz and are most prominently recorded over frontal and central regions of the scalp during active wakefulness. This activity is characterized by low to moderate voltage and is often linked to active cognitive engagement, alertness, and motor control. Beta activity increases during concentration, mental calculation, and motor planning, and typically attenuates with drowsiness or in relaxed states. While physiological beta is normal in these contexts, pathologically increased beta can indicate hyperarousal or excessive cortical excitation. Subbands within beta, such as low beta, 13 to 15 Hz, mid beta, 15 to 20 Hz, and high beta, 20 to 30 Hz, may have distinct functional correlates. For example, low beta is associated with focused attention, whereas high beta is linked to anxiety, insomnia, and in some cases, stimulant drug effects. Beta activity is particularly important in evaluating conditions characterized by hypervigilance, such as generalized anxiety disorder or certain types of insomnia. The underlying mechanisms generating beta rhythms involve a complex interplay between excitatory and inhibitory neural processes, particularly in cortical and thalamocortical circuits. Beta activity is more locally generated and task-specific than slower rhythms that often reflect global synchrony. It may emerge as a byproduct of organized, slower oscillations, with bursts of beta nested within theta or alpha phases in certain cognitive states. The distributed nature of beta across frontocentral, temporal, and parietal areas also suggests its involvement in higher-order integration and executive control. In neurophysiological terms, beta may represent a state of readiness or inhibition release, preparing neural networks for rapid processing. Abnormalities in beta amplitude or distribution can thus indicate dysfunction in these regulatory processes. High beta, in particular, may signal emotional dysregulation, intrusive thinking, or a failure to downregulate excitatory circuits in response to environmental demands. Clinically, beta activity is scrutinized in disorders involving behavioral overactivation or cognitive rigidity. For instance, individuals with obsessive-compulsive disorder or those with high-trait anxiety may exhibit excess beta, particularly in midline or right hemisphere regions. In contrast, diminished beta may be seen in hypoaroused states such as depression or post-concussive conditions. The topographical distribution of beta is key to interpretation. For example, elevated beta in the temporal parietal junction may correlate with heightened sensitivity to social cues or emotional tone. Neurofeedback protocols targeting beta often aim to downregulate excess activity in specific regions or enhance beta in underactive networks. Because beta overlaps in frequency with some artifacts, such as electromyographic contamination, careful visual inspection and artifact rejection are essential when evaluating beta power. Beta rhythms also overlap with pharmacological effects. Medications such as benzodiazepines, barbiturates, and certain anesthetics can increase beta activity, especially in diffuse patterns. These drug-induced beta rhythms typically have lower amplitude than physiological beta and lack focal localization. Differentiating drug effects and intrinsic beta abnormalities requires correlation with clinical history and behavioral observation. Additionally, where one hemisphere shows consistently higher beta than the other, beta asymmetry can indicate lateralized dysfunction, such as structural lesions or hemispheric dominance shifts. This makes beta a valuable tool not only for psychiatric assessment, but also for neurological differential diagnosis. Beta's clinical utility extends beyond pathology into performance enhancement. In high-functioning individuals, such as athletes or executives, well-regulated beta is associated with efficient cognitive processing and rapid response capabilities. In such contexts, neurofeedback to optimize beta levels may enhance attention, memory, and motor coordination. Ultimately, beta rhythms represent an essential feature of cortical activity that bridges excitation, inhibition, and behavioral output. Whether indicating dysfunction or optimal performance, beta analysis provides a detailed view of the brain's dynamic balance. Rhythms with similar frequencies but different characteristics, not beta. Certain functionally distinct rhythms exist within the beta frequency range and require separate identification to avoid misinterpretation. One such pattern is the mu rhythm, which typically oscillates between 8 and 13 Hz but can extend into the lower beta range and is observed primarily over central scalp regions corresponding to the sensorimotor cortex. Unlike the posterior alpha rhythm, mu is not affected by eye opening but is suppressed by movement, the intention to move, or the observation of movement. This blocking property links mu to the mirror neuron system and motor readiness circuits. Mu often presents with arch-shaped waveforms and may show a harmonic peak at double its base frequency, which can mislead interpretation if not properly recognized. Its functional significance lies in its role as an indicator of the sensorimotor cortex being in an idle or standby state, ready to be engaged when needed. Another important pattern is the sensorimotor rhythm, SMR, usually defined within the 12 to 15 Hz band and localized to central scalp locations. SMR is associated with a calm yet alert state and is often enhanced during stillness and focused attention. It is notably not the same as general beta activity, as it reflects a reduction in motor excitability rather than general arousal or engagement. SMR is functionally and clinically important because it has been successfully used in neurofeedback protocols for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, epilepsy, and other conditions involving motor overactivity or dysregulation. Distinguishing SMR from general beta is critical, as they may co-occur but represent different neurophysiological mechanisms. Additionally, it is important to differentiate drug-induced fast activity from endogenous beta. Substances such as barbiturates, benzodiazepines, and certain anesthetics can increase beta range activity, often diffusely and with low amplitude, and this activity lacks the task-related focal distribution of physiological beta or SMR. This diffuse beta can mask other EEG features and is a common finding in sedated patients. Recognition of these pharmacological effects is essential in clinical and research contexts to avoid misattributing their presence to an underlying pathological state. Artifacts such as electromyographic, EMG, contamination also produce activity in the beta range and can be mistaken for cortical beta if not properly filtered or visually inspected. EMG artifacts typically have a more irregular, spiky appearance and are not localized to functional regions meaningfully. They are often greatest in peripheral leads or near muscle groups such as the jaw or forehead. Proper impedance control and artifact rejection techniques are critical in reducing this source of misinterpretation. Finally, beta activity should always be interpreted in the context of topography, symmetry, and clinical presentation. Anomalies such as interhemispheric asymmetry in beta, especially when sustained and region-specific, may indicate lateralized cortical dysfunction, including stroke, tumor, or structural anomalies. In contrast, widespread elevated beta without such findings may suggest a state-related change or medication effect. Hence, distinguishing between functionally distinct rhythms that fall within the beta frequency range is an essential competency in EEG interpretation. 0.5 to 3.5 Hz or 1 to 4 Hz or 0.1 to 4 Hz, the delta frequency band. Delta activity, the slowest of the standard EEG rhythms, spans frequencies from approximately 0.5 to 4 Hz and is associated with deep sleep, immaturity in infant brain development, and pathological states in awake adults. This frequency band is generated by both cortical and thalamic sources and is modulated by glial activity and slow cortical potentials. In normal physiology, delta dominates during non-REM sleep, particularly in stages 3 and 4, reflecting widespread cortical synchronization and reduced sensory responsiveness. In awake adults, however, the presence of focal or diffuse delta activity is typically considered abnormal. Focal delta may signify localized structural lesions, such as tumors, infarcts, or cortical dysplasia. Diffuse delta often indicates metabolic encephalopathy, hypoxic injury, or other global impairments of cortical-subcortical connectivity. Functionally, delta activity is not merely a passive indicator of dysfunction, but plays an active role in neuroregulation. It has been implicated in neuroplasticity, restorative brain functions, and the coordination of large-scale brain networks. Slow oscillations in the delta range organize the timing of faster rhythms and support the transition between arousal states. Delta is also involved in the default mode network and contributes to cognitive and affective processing during periods of internal focus. Thus, excess delta in a waking EEG may not only signify disruption, but may also reflect compensatory reorganization in response to injury or dysfunction. Understanding this complexity is essential for interpreting delta activity within the broader clinical and neurophysiological context. The glial system also modulates delta rhythms and may reflect non-neuronal regulatory influences. Glial cells communicate via calcium waves and gap junctions, influencing the excitability of nearby neurons. This activity can manifest as ultra-slow oscillations that overlap with the delta band, blurring the line between classical neuronal rhythms and emerging neuromodulatory signals. Furthermore, neurofeedback protocols targeting infraslow or delta band activity have shown efficacy in reducing symptoms in conditions such as epilepsy, migraine, and traumatic brain injury. These interventions support the view that delta rhythms are modifiable and functionally relevant, not merely epiphenomena of damage. Artifacts must also be considered when interpreting delta. Eye movements, sweat artifact, and movement-related potentials can all mimic delta activity. Electrode drift, especially when using poor-quality electrodes or suboptimal skin preparation, may produce slow oscillations that resemble true delta. Differentiating true physiological delta from artifact requires careful inspection of the waveform morphology, topographic distribution, and reactivity to state changes. Typically, an artifact lacks the spatial localization and consistent rhythmicity of true cortical delta. Because of its broad clinical implications, delta activity is one of the most diagnostically significant components of the EEG. Whether reflecting sleep, structural pathology, diffuse encephalopathy, or compensatory reorganization, the presence and pattern of delta offer critical information. Interpretation should integrate findings across clinical history, imaging, and other physiological data to ensure accurate diagnosis and effective treatment planning. Delta's involvement in both dysfunction and regulation makes it a uniquely dual-purpose rhythm in the study of brain activity. 4 to 8 Hz, theta frequency band. Theta activity occupies the frequency range of approximately 4 to 8 Hz and holds a unique place in EEG analysis due to its multiple functional correlates. In healthy individuals, theta is most prominent during drowsiness and early sleep stages, and it can also appear during meditation, deep focus, and creative tasks. Theta may indicate cognitive inefficiency or reduced cortical arousal in clinical contexts, particularly when excessive or observed in unusual regions during wakefulness. Complex interactions between hippocampal, limbic, and frontal cortical structures generate theta. Hippocampal theta is essential for memory encoding and spatial navigation, whereas frontal midline theta is associated with cognitive control and sustained attention. These functionally distinct theta generators produce patterns that vary by task, state, and region, making topographical analysis crucial for interpretation. In disorders such as ADHD, an elevated theta-to-beta ratio, especially at the central midline electrode CZ, has been widely studied as a biomarker. This ratio reflects an imbalance between cortical idling and alertness and has demonstrated predictive value in diagnostic and treatment contexts. High frontal theta may also appear in depressive conditions or during mind wandering, suggesting a disengagement from external stimuli. In contrast, well-modulated theta in task-related contexts supports working memory and internal focus. Neurofeedback targeting theta often aims to reduce its amplitude in individuals with inattention or increase it in those who require more internal focus, depending on the topographical findings. Understanding the functional polarity of theta activity, its association with dysfunction, and its role in high-level cognitive processing is essential for accurate EEG interpretation. Theta rhythms also play a vital role in cross-frequency coupling, often coordinating with gamma and beta activity to support complex cognitive operations. This coupling reflects the theta phase's role as a timing scaffold upon which faster oscillations can encode and transfer information. Disruption in this coupling has been implicated in schizophrenia, Alzheimer's disease, and traumatic brain injury. Such findings underscore the role of theta not only in isolated signal analysis, but also in the orchestration of broader neurocognitive processes. This makes theta a cornerstone in understanding cognitive pathology and brain network dynamics. In addition to neurocognitive applications, theta has emotional correlates. It has been associated with affect regulation, interoceptive awareness, and limbic engagement. Frontal midline theta increases during tasks involving emotional conflict or regulation, indicating that theta also modulates prefrontal limbic interaction. Theta biofeedback has shown promise in treating anxiety, emotional dysregulation, and PTSD by enhancing attentional control and emotional processing capacity. This therapeutic angle reinforces theta's role in supporting cognitive and affective stability. As with all EEG frequencies, artifacts must be carefully considered. Theta-like activity may emerge from eye movements, especially during drowsiness or low-frequency muscle artifacts in relaxed facial muscles. Theta from pathological slowing due to structural brain damage must be differentiated from task-induced or state-dependent physiological theta. Visual inspection, coupled with contextual information and topographical patterns, helps to ensure that theta is interpreted correctly. The functional breadth of theta activity, from distraction and pathology to cognition and emotional control, demands a nuanced approach. Rather than being inherently beneficial or harmful, theta reflects state and context. Clinicians must interpret theta in light of behavioral, cognitive, and emotional conditions, using absolute and relative measures to determine its meaning. The richness and variability of theta make it one of the most versatile and informative EEG bands in both research and clinical domains. Final notes. Electroencephalography provides a powerful, non-invasive window into the functional dynamics of the human brain. Each frequency band, whether delta, theta, alpha, or beta, conveys unique information about underlying cortical and subcortical processes. These rhythms are not isolated indicators, but are embedded within nested oscillatory frameworks that reflect real-time neural operations. The utility of EEG lies in its capacity to reflect both transient and sustained patterns of brain activity, integrating state-dependent changes with trait-like characteristics. EEG findings can illuminate cognitive readiness, attentional allocation, emotional reactivity, and even compensatory responses to pathology when evaluated properly. Despite its diagnostic and therapeutic potential, EEG interpretation demands technical precision and clinical contextualization. The complexity of oscillatory dynamics means that identical frequency patterns may represent divergent functional states depending on anatomical location, behavioral task, or clinical history. For example, increased theta may signify a pathological slowing or beneficial access to internal cognitive resources. This ambiguity necessitates a careful and multi-layered approach to reading EEG data, supported by normative databases, task-based assessments, and longitudinal follow-up. Incorporating EEG into clinical practice also supports individualized treatment planning. Neurofeedback, in particular, allows practitioners to target specific rhythms based on real-time EEG metrics, modulating dysfunctional patterns and enhancing adaptive ones. This feedback loop represents a powerful tool for self-regulation, particularly in conditions marked by attentional, affective, or arousal dysregulation. As EEG technology and analytics continue to evolve, including the use of machine learning and advanced source localization, their application is likely to become increasingly nuanced and impactful. Moreover, EEG invites ongoing learning and engagement with neuroscience. Clinicians and researchers alike benefit from repeated exposure to EEG data, peer consultation, and continuing education. Mastery is not achieved quickly but builds over time through the disciplined application of theoretical knowledge to real-world cases. The ability to interpret complex patterns within EEG signals offers both a challenge and a profound opportunity to understand the brain in action. In sum, the interpretation of EEG rhythms bridges neurophysiology and behavior, providing clinically relevant insights into brain functioning across a range of disorders and conditions. Whether used for assessment, monitoring, or intervention, EEG remains a central tool in applied neuroscience. The effectiveness of its use depends on the skill and judgment of the practitioner, who must balance empirical rigor with clinical intuition. A few final notes on the evaluation of the EEG compensatory behaviors. When evaluating EEG data, it is important to recognize that deviations from normative patterns may not always reflect dysfunction. They can also represent adaptive compensatory responses. For example, increased right hemisphere beta activity might suggest hyperarousal or anxiety, but in some individuals, it may also support necessary vigilance in high-demand environments. Similarly, persistent alpha activity in frontal areas could represent hypoactivation, or it might reflect a well-developed strategy for emotional inhibition in someone with a trauma history. These patterns must be interpreted with caution and within the context of the client's symptoms, history, and goals. Training protocols based solely on deviation from normative data risk suppressing these adaptive mechanisms. Interventions should be informed by symptom-targeted analysis, in which EEG patterns match the individual's presenting issues. Some advanced neurofeedback platforms incorporate symptom checklists that correlate with EEG metrics to ensure that training targets areas most likely to yield functional improvement. This approach reduces the risk of inadvertently training away compensatory patterns that serve the client well in daily functioning. Compensatory EEG patterns can also emerge following brain injury, stroke, or developmental disruption. For example, enhanced activity in non-dominant hemispheric areas may support language recovery or motor compensation. While these patterns may appear abnormal in a strictly statistical sense, they reflect neural plasticity and should not be disrupted unless there is clear clinical justification. Observation over time, response to interventions, and ongoing symptom evaluation help determine whether a pattern should be reinforced, left alone, or inhibited. It is also important to engage clients in understanding their EEG profiles. Explaining that certain deviations may reflect strengths or survival strategies fosters collaboration and sets realistic expectations for training. This educational component strengthens therapeutic rapport and supports adherence to neurofeedback protocols. Clients are more likely to engage fully when they understand the rationale behind training targets and when those targets are connected to their lived experience. In clinical practice, EEG interpretation is most effective when integrated with a biopsychosocial model. This includes evaluating the client's medical history, psychological profile, cognitive functioning, and environmental stressors. The EEG becomes one piece of a much larger puzzle, guiding rather than dictating clinical decisions. In this way, EEG assessment supports precision and personalization in treatment, avoiding one-size-fits-all solutions. Ultimately, the goal of EEG-informed intervention is not to normalize every pattern, but to optimize brain function in a way that supports the client's goals, enhances well-being, and aligns with functional outcomes. Respecting the adaptive capacities of the brain, even when they diverge from statistical norms, honors the complexity and resilience of human neurophysiology.